You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support oneofus.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be one of us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Man, remember all those cool moments in the Mission Impossible series when Ethan and his team would like fly to one exotic locale and get into some crazy action scenes, and then suddenly shit would go wrong and they were like, holy crap, we got to change the plan. And you know, you're on the seat, edge of your seat with suspense, and then they go to another country, they have another cool action shootout. You know how fun those are? What if you had exactly that, only it was stupid? Because that's what I think we saw tonight. It was like Mission Impossible for idiots.
That's actually a really good point. You know? I didn't think of it that way.
This is like the bad Mission Impossible. This is like you described this like the A-team. This is like the C-team of Mission Impossible. It's like the IMF, the idiot mission force.
The A-team is who you call when you want a well-developed plan. This is who you call when it's like, well, you got an idea of what
we
want to do.
$20.
This may
well,
or may
actually,
not
they have a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. They got way too much money for these plans to be this fucking harebrained. And even by action movie standards, this movie really, really ask you to suspend your disbelief. Some movies
so
ask you
so.
To suspend your disbelief. This movie asks you to suspend your disbelief until it actually ceases to obey the laws of gravity.
It asks you to kill your disbelief.
Yeah. Murder it, bury it in the backyard. But you know what? Let's start off with some introductions. I am Marco. Joining me today are...
I am Mark, without the O.
Okay. We're going to go with that.
And I'm Mike.
Spider and Mike. Spider Mike. Fortunately, usually we've got two Mikes here, but today we have two Marcoses.
Yeah.
So we're going to make
a new
it
one.
I still prefer Marco Prime, but, you know, hey, it's okay. We won't get too confused.
Well, let's start with the plot of this thing.
Oh, wait. Was there a plot?
Yeah, kind of. Okay, so here's the at least the main rundown of this movie. So Ryan Reynolds, a billionaire, decides to get a team of people, and he needs six people.
Because otherwise the title wouldn't make any sense.
For some unknown reason, he needs exactly six people. Something happens to one of them in the beginning of it, and so he decides to get another person, and then they decide to go after a dictator who gassed his own people or something like that?
Dictator of not Turkey.
Yes, of not Turkey. Of Turkestan.
I think it's called Turgistan.
Turgistan.
They just took Turkey and added stan to the end of it.
They just took Turgid and added a stan to the end of it. Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is a billionaire that is somehow completely unknown to the rest of the planet and decides that, you know what, I'm going to fake my own death, start my own IMF, and I'm just going to go after the bad guys and not have to worry about little bullshit like,
I'm gonna
you know,
fake the death
treaties,
of like five other people.
International communities. I just have to find other people willing to off themselves in a public way so that their record is wiped clean, and then we're going to start from scratch and we're just going to go take it to the real bad guys. And the dude in here is really fucking bad, but wow, the missions that are involved to taking him involved or taking him down. His this evil guy is who basically walked out of a he's a bad guy straight out of a Chuck Norris 80s movie. I kept waiting for the Golan Globus label to show up on the screen. And so this guy has, you know, for a dictator, he's actually kind of nice in regards to his younger brother, who's like pro-democracy, and he's like, look, I'm going to keep you locked up in this hotel. I'm not going to murder you because you're my brother and whatever. And so Ryan Reynolds goes, I like that guy. That guy should be running this country. We just need to stage a coup d'etat and replace the existing government. And boy, those harebrained schemes are, if you like that kind of stuff, these are really, really intricately plotted out until you start thinking about them. Well, because Michael Bay doesn't understand a lot of things about science and logic.
You actually skipped something, about 30 to 40 minutes of video game intros.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. There's so many just weird intro things going on. Oh, Jesus Christ, guys.
We're all strangers here. Cut. You find out what that dude was doing.
Right, with titles that identify them by number, except we never...
And a nice frame.
And a nice frame, but we never go in sequential order. We know that Ryan Reynolds is number one, but he's not even the first person introduced. Then we get like seven, and then five, because Michael Bay doesn't understand sequential numbering.
Well, let's go over the numbers of the people. So one is the billionaire, which is Ryan Reynolds. Two is the CIA spook, who is played by a... a blonde actress who I know I've seen before, but I'm can't.
Melanie Laurent.
Melanie Laurent. Three is a hitman.
Manuel Garcia Rulfo.
Who's amazing, who I think was a lot of fun. He has the worst dialogue, but he was a lot of fun. Number four is the Skywalker?
Which is never used ever once in the movie apart from that credit. He's a parkour guy?
He just loves parkour, guys.
You know.
Without him, we don't get parkour scenes.
That's the parkourist parkour dude that Ryan Reynolds could find.
Right. And we have Dave Franco as the driver.
And we skipped five. Five was the doctor.
Oh, Adria Arjona.
Well, the doctor doesn't get a video game cutscene.
She doesn't even... Okay, they give like one title and they never say what she was prior to that, basically.
She was just described as the doctor. Yeah, like some extreme doctor,
nobody
apparently.
Nobody likes to be the healer.
Yeah. Then Dave Franco was six. And then...
Corey Hawkins is seven.
Who's the newest addition to this IMF of stupidity. Oh my God, guys, you have no idea how bad this is.
This is so hard. You also have to understand that the way this movie is structured, maybe once upon a time the screenplay made some kind of sense. It was obviously always going to be nonlinear, but then once you put it in the Michael Bay Cuisinart editing suite, all of a sudden all those things get jumbled until you literally at times like, was this 4 months ago? Was this 4 days ago? Wait, this happened in the past, but now we're in the present, and you... Not only do we get numbers for people, we get numbers for, like, different days or something. It's like, there was, like, just one, three. And
I don't think it ever went to six.
What was that, you know?
It never actually went to six.
Because, yeah, again, Michael Bay doesn't understand numbers. There's so many weird things in this movie. Like, suddenly, there's a middle of a fight, and now, wait a minute, when did it become dark? It literally turns night in one scene, because apparently Michael Bay doesn't understand how the planet rotates either.
We were talking about this movie a little bit prior, and one of you guys mentioned that it was, like, a TV show... Yeah. Jammed into like a single movie. And what if the numbers were just like, this is where episode one is supposed to end?
This felt like, this is actually, I can't even believe, and we're not going to go into all of the...
I might watch this TV show if it was a TV show.
Yeah. This is for Netflix. It's actually, we are recording on the 10th, and it's going to drop on Netflix on the 13th. I don't even know why they bothered screening this for us. I don't know that it's getting a theatrical release.
They tried to bribe us so hard, by the way.
Oh, and this, yeah, the whole thing was a mess, but that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is, this does feel like an interesting, you know, obviously exaggerated, high concept, you know, action adventure film that could have been a really interesting and fun, you know, TV series, but somehow they have crammed it into, you know, an entire season into like a little over 2 hours.
And there's so many quips that like would have worked in a episodic kind of thing that just gets crammed within like almost a 10-minute sequence.
Yeah.
That I wanted to shoot myself because all of it was bad.
I mean, this is another thing. Now, I hear what you're thinking.
These might be the worst quips I've ever heard in an action movie. Well, like, for really sure.
These are, this is from the same writers as Deadpool. you know, which is explains how, you know, Ryan Reynolds is involved. And we know that Ryan Reynolds can take a silly, goofy dad joke kind of thing and then make it very funny. But what happens more often than not is he's saying these things in the middle of an action scene and Michael Bay immediately cuts to something else and totally ruins the timing because, yes, Michael Bay also doesn't understand comedy. My whole review is just going to be explaining the things that Michael Bay does not understand, like language, like culture. At one point, they're like, the mission is supposed to go down on the Day of the Dead. The mission is happening in Kyrgyzstan, this fictional country, I admit, but I don't think they celebrate Day of the Dead. That just sounds like some cool shit. Because it sounded cool.
Like, somebody was like, this is a great idea, and it never comes up ever again until the day it happens.
The one Spanish-speaking dude doesn't understand what coup d'etat mean, even though in Spanish it's not the same, but it's similar enough, because, again, Michael Bay doesn't understand how language works.
He loves explosions,
I mean,
though.
You know, for him being part of the cartel in his backstory, a coup is a
he
common
was a hit
word.
Man. Yeah. You would have heard coup, dude. He's like, I don't know, it's a stupid word. You know, it's like... And again, this you feel the actor doing his level best to sell the comedy of this, and he does a good job, but at some point you're like, dude, you aren't getting paid nearly well enough for the amount of work you're putting just to sell some of these stupid lines.
Yeah, there's a sequence in, I guess, I assume it's the second act, because that movie's really long, where he's just saying movie quotes.
Yeah.
For like 10 minutes straight?
He's got like, he's a little high on laughing gas, and he's just cracking himself up with movie quips. And it's like one of those situations where Ryan Reynolds is on the line. He's like, okay, really, you can stop now. This, just stop it. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, yes, we know it's not funny. You having a character acknowledge that it's not funny does not magically make it funny.
You can actually mute the movie at that point. Like, just mute it. Like, if you're, this is Netflix, so just mute it. And then it's cool to look at, because there's a lot of great spots.
Oh my god. Okay, so here's the thing about the movie that I will give it credit for. It has some decent action sequences.
Sure.
And some pretty cool effects here and there. Like, there's a dead guy later on in this film who, they spent a lot of budget to show that specific way that guy dies.
Well, there's a whole bunch of little spots. Spots with knives, spots with cars. Like, it looks cool. If you could cut... actually all the plot out of the movie and just watch that as a music video.
I mean, this is basically action porn, and that's what Michael Bay does.
Also, there's so many explosions within like only the barely like within 10 minutes this movie has more explosions than most movies do.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
just keeps going and going and going.
The plot armor was really thick for the hero's car, and then every other car was just filled with gasoline.
Yeah.
Oh, thousands of innocent lives were lost while these guys were, like, running around through Rome and Hong Kong.
Oh, my God. The
everywhere else.
Damage, guys. Oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness. I'm still quite...
Those cops did nothing wrong.
They really did it. You know, in fact, they were surprising because, you know, they actually showed up when they were supposed to. They're like, the cops weren't supposed to be here. Every single plan. Okay, look, if you like action movies or heist movies, things of that nature, inevitably something will go wrong because otherwise there's no tension. However, every time something goes wrong during one of these schemes, and something always goes wrong, someone goes, oh, I didn't think about that. Or, oh, well, you know, we used all our budget on a smaller car because we wasted the money on this other thing. Or Ryan Reynolds going, wow, I didn't think that was actually going to work. Your whole plan hinged on that thing working. And now you go, wow, I can't believe it actually worked.
Literally every plan they make in that movie fails in some way.
Yeah.
Like every even the plan of him just talking to somebody.
It actually has to be a plan for it to fail.
That's
true. It was more of an outline of things that we hope happen.
Kind of like the screenplay for this movie.
Well, like, yeah, he has a plan where all he has to do is talk to some people, and he still fucks part of that up.
Right, there was a way to recover, but it's like... And the thing is, that moment, he doubles down. And that actually is a funny scene, because unlike all the other scenes, he's not saying anything that's inherently witty or hilarious. What it is the camera is actually... Michael Bay will allow for a moment to just let the camera stand still and let Ryan Reynolds do what he does best, which is, you know, have these sort of weird, awkward, goofy conversations with people. But every time he tries to do that within the context of an action scene, it just sucks all of the humor. And you have to understand, this is a comedy, guys. No matter how they're billing
it. Are you sure?
It is. It's just a failure as a comedy, because I'm like... You got comedy writers, you got Ryan Reynolds, you got a bunch of other funny people. But Michael Bay, again, doesn't understand comedy, doesn't understand timing, and just runs roughshod all over the rhythms of the dialogue until you're like, why did, just make an action movie. Make a bunch of guys who don't talk a lot because they're just there to do a job.
Some of them really shouldn't have talked, like, at all. Like, some of the actors just don't know how to make some of these lines work. I was talking about the dictator's brother.
Oh, that dude, poor son of a bitch.
That poor bastard only speaks in the same tone the entire movie, even when he shouldn't be when he should have a different tone.
He actually looks embarrassed to be there, because you got to understand, it's like, look, you're a Middle Eastern actor, and you know you're not asked to play a terrorist or a Middle Eastern dictator. You're being asked to play the pro-democratic brother to the crazy dictator guy. It's probably still kind of embarrassing to do this sort of thing.
He had Tommy Wiseau level delivery. It. I'm sorry.
You know, I just, the whole time I felt that guy going like, I am so ashamed that I cashed this check, but I'm going to do what I can. You know,
also number four, parkour guy. He had jokes that he just couldn't sell.
No,
like,
yeah,
he constantly really couldn't sell any of his jokes. Was trying to like nail it in my head. And I think 2, 4, and 5, if you remove all their dialogue and make them mute for some reason, like mute orphans.
Well, 2 isn't too bad, because a lot of her is just her judging everybody kind of thing, which kind of works.
Okay, 4 and 5, make them mute orphans. You know what? 30% better.
Like 5, I don't really think talks all that much.
No, no, she's the doctor. She's actually the more level-headed of one. All the women are a little bit more level-headed, which is Michael Bay's way of being fair, because every other time he just uses them as sex objects. They're cool, they have action, they're smarter than the guys.
Still use one of
but
them.
I'm still going to have a low-angle butt shot on all of them every time we walk into a room with them. It's so tawdry and weak. This whole thing is kind of just an exercise in testosterone, and I'm okay with that. But God damn it, you have to do it well. And this movie, for all of its obvious technical achievements, is just such a mess on a script and a performance level. You can see the things in it that could have worked, but you needed somebody who actually understood things like story and character, comic timing, you know, physics, rules of logic. And Michael Bay, God bless him, but that is not, that man does not possess those skills.
Well, Marco, that sounded like a final thought. What do you?
It's damn close, man. I mean, we probably gave our best review out in the backyard while we were waiting to come in here, because I think we all agree that this was not a good experience.
No.
Side note about something that's completely terrible and we haven't even talked about is that the soundtrack is like 90% ex-ambassadors.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah. It's such cheesy pop tunes. And again, it's like, you don't have a character that say, hey, why are you playing this cheesy pop tune? It's like, that doesn't make the joke funny. It's just an out-of-place pop tune that exists for no reason.
Yeah, the first, like, I think one of the first pop tune jokes that happens, and you're just like, but why, though? Like, yeah. Like, why is this whole thing happening? And even the movie's just like, don't worry about it. But I'll start, I guess, with my final
Please.
Thought. Please. Here's the thing about this movie. It's one of the most Michael Bay-ish movies I've seen in quite some time. Mm. But all the dialogue is mostly really bad. The plot is really bad. There's too many flashbacks that make confuse everyone. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is worth being watched on this team, I guess. I like 3 a lot, because he was just being a dick to Ryan Reynolds the whole time. Kind of thing. Him and Ryan Reynolds had this kind of relationship of just like almost like a mutual love hate relationship almost. Three's relationship with 2 was kind of nice as well. 7 was basically forgettable, other than the fact that he had a sniper rifle and he knew how to use it. Basically,
well, he was the guy who was the heart. He was the guy like, we don't leave a man behind. Like, they're just numbers. We fucking leave him behind. He's the guy who's like, no. You go back for your teammates. And yes, that will become a plot point.
Also,
later.
Why did Ryan Reynolds not expect that? Is the thing,
you know?
It's like, why would he not? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not going
to
go into that.
Because he has to have a fatal flaw in all of his plans, Mike.
From
that
the get-go,
movie
guys.
Proves this
from the fucking get go. Like I said, there's a lot of there's a lot of personal relationships that kind of work in the movie only because the actors kind of make them work. There's a lot of sequences that, like I said, action wise are really good. Ryan Reynolds is still really good in it, to be honest. Even with most of his bad dialogue. But he knows how to sell any dialogue. Like, any movie I've ever seen he's really good at delivering any line he's given. But yeah, a lot of the actors are super forgettable. The bad guy was okay. The music points were so Michael Bay weird timing. I don't fucking know, guys. This movie's bad. It's really bad. And I give it... Because I give it 3 out of 10 Leave It to Beaver episodes.
Mark, what say you?
So, just because of it's this movie... It has really cool action scenes that are worth watching because you're not going to see it anything like that anywhere else, period. Mm-hmm. But the plot is garbage. The dialogue is garbage. Like, watch it. The best way to watch this movie is watch it as two episodes because it's way too long.
Yeah, it's 2 hours?
I don't know, but you feel the length of it.
It's 128 minutes.
Jesus, I felt, every longer. Minute of that.
There was a moment where I literally thought, oh, it's over now. We're done. I mean, this is kind of a cool place to end it, and it kept going.
No, we were yawning in the Hong Kong sequence, and I was like, there's a whole third act. Like, there has to be, based on the way that this movie is set up.
Oh, yeah, I turned at you, and I was like, I hate this. And you're like, we haven't even hit the third act, dude.
But if you watch it in half, and then just watch it in the background while you're doing stuff, it probably won't be as bad. But that being said, since I had to see it all at once, probably 3 out of 10 unnecessary product placements.
Oh. So many weird product placements, all... guys.
You know what? If I'm a millionaire, or billionaire, I'm sorry, and I have my own private jet, I think I can afford a very nice flight helmet without having to, like, take some Red Bull helmet piece of swag I got at a convention or something. I'm like, that's one of the first things you see in the movie is that Red Bull logo on his helmet. And I'm like, this is going to be one of those movies, isn't it? And it is. And, you know, okay, so you guys are both 3. I'm maybe just going to give it only slightly bit more, but really this not much more. This movie, as you guys have obviously figured out listening to us, is not a good movie. It's going to be on Netflix. You know, look, I'm not going to tell you what to watch because, frankly, Netflix has already got your money anyway.
It's a great chores movie.
You know,
put it in the background.
Put it in the background. You know,
you might chuckle.
You know, think of it like a porno. You know, it's like you're gonna fast forward through the dialogue. You don't care about that shit. You want to get to the money shots. Well, guess what? You get a lot of that in this movie. But oh my god, it is action porn. However, it is written about the same level of intelligence as the average porno script. This movie is honestly might be the worst movie I saw in a theater this year. And I consider myself fortunate. If that was the worst thing I saw this year, I did all right in 2019. I give this... Jesus Christ. what do I give it?
A Jesus Christ.
I give it a Jesus Christ.
If you're going as high as 4 or 3 and a quarter or something.
I'm going... 3.5 times I wanted to just yell at the screen, Michael Bay, like a juggalo, doesn't understand how magnets work.
Out of 10.
All right, well, we're going to leave now. Let's go and form our own mission, guys, because I think we could probably pull off a better heist than Ryan Reynolds and this horrible crew could. Good night.
The one thing that happens, I don't think there is a heist.